Praise the Lord and good evening, everyone. This is Bishop Horace Michael, pastor of the Beulah Tabernacle Church, and we certainly want to welcome you tonight to our weekly pastoral teaching and prayer night. Today is Tuesday, January the 5th in the year 2021. Look where God has brought us. We bless the name of God tonight, and we thank him for his mercy endures forever. We want to ask the presence of God to just saturate this line tonight as I share with you what's on my heart in preparation for our consecration. My heart is leaping and overjoyed because of what I anticipate will be happening over the course of the next 5 days. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads with us at this time for a moment of prayer. Eternal God, our Father, in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we honor your presence tonight, and we are grateful. Grateful to be alive. Grateful to be in your presence. Grateful for the indwelling Holy Spirit. Grateful that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Grateful that you woke us up this morning and started us on our way. And despite what we are going through individually and collectively, we give your name the praise. You are worthy, Lord. No matter what we feel, you are worthy, Lord. No matter what we see, you are worthy. You are worthy. Our soul delights in you. Our soul boasts of you. Our soul is in awe of you. And tonight we ask that you would be in our midst, even as we share the lesson, even as we go before you in prayer thereafter. Now we ask you would saturate this line with your presence. Lord, you know what the needs are of every person on the line listening. Lord, those that will listen in the recording, your omniscience will word our mouth and guide our thoughts to not only speak for the here and now, but by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to speak a word that will be relevant in any season. We glorify you, we magnify you, and thank you for this moment. Bless, Lord God, every person under the sound of our voice. Allow their faith to be increased. Allow their wisdom, Lord God, to be deep in you. Allow their faith to be strong in you. Allow their confidence to rest peacefully in you. And so now we commend ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, into the hands of a God who will never let us fall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you tonight. We bless the name of God, and we are so grateful to God for being again together. I do not take these moments for granted. We have come through almost 8 months, 9 months of managing ministry in a virtual setting, unprecedented for us, only to the extent that we have never been limited to this alone. We have been in the practice of using a conference call line for many years. But God was getting us ready for something greater. We thought that when we made the decision to sell the building, that it was a decision that was not well founded. And I know that many people did not understand, despite the fact that we had meetings concerning it, we had prayer concerning it, we had a vote concerning it. You could only do something like that properly by getting the Attorney General's approval. And there's a formal process that you have to go through in order to obtain that, which we did. But I know that the transition was a huge paradigm shift to come out from a building that we called our own, to go into a building that we had to comply with various regulations, restrictions, limitations. But the Lord knew what he was doing. He was getting us ready for a paradigm shift that would not just affect the congregation, but that would affect the world. How merciful it was that the Lord guided us in the way he did. How glorious it was that the Lord trusted us with obedience to his will, even when we did not necessarily see the end of a thing. But thanks be to God that has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who could have known, Matt, that 3 years ago, 3.5, 4 years ago, when we went forth with that transition, that we would be in a state now where buildings that have been, that are under mortgage, would be facing great financial challenges, where you are unable to gather together to take the full advantage of using the building, perhaps even allowing others to use it as a means of generating income. And now buildings are not important. And the global body of Christ has come to grips with the reality that the church is not a building, but that the church is the people. God's grace and mercy put us in a place where we came to terms with that reality. As often as it's been said, it hasn't been something that people readily embraced until now. We find ourselves juxtaposed between life and death, as it were. The challenge of social distancing versus coming together as we normally would, which would put people at risk and in harm's way. But God is faithful. And so as we continue under the direction of the Holy Spirit, we come to gather together this night to introduce to you the formal consecration that will kick off the year 2021. It shall be done in 21. Before we go through this consecration detail, I want to share with you tonight concerning the fact that it's going to take faith to get the job done. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost right there. It's going to take faith to get the job done. You need to write that down tonight as you're taking notes. It's going to take faith, my brother. It's going to take faith, my sister. It's going to take faith, sons and daughters. It's going to take faith to get the job done. Last year, the Lord gave us the focus and theme, All I See is Victory. And we went through 52 weeks of lessons, prayer, Bible study, that focus on what God was saying to us through that divinely inspired theme. And while some may not have grasped the full extent of it, fear not, because even now the Holy Spirit yet speaks to us, it shall be done in 21. We had to have faith to get through last year. We had to have confidence to get through last year. And here we are now. Not because we were so careful, despite the fact that we've, you know, many of us did follow the guidelines of wearing face masks, the guidelines of social distancing, the guidelines of washing our hands frequently and using hand sanitizer, even face shields and surgical gloves. We used the paraphernalia that was the thing that stood between a dreaded disease that is yet a pandemic, and our health and survival. Our country alone has had over 330,000 casualties that have been the unfortunate victims of COVID-19 in America. Despite the fact that we are now in position where there are, I believe, 3 different vaccines available, that there are mutated strains of this disease that those vaccines were not designed to affect. And so despite the fact that we have vaccines, due to the efforts of the brilliant minds of doctors, medical professionals, microbiotic engineers. Oh my God, the incredible knowledge and brilliance of these individuals, this God-given intelligence, came together to put together an antidote or a vaccine, as it was, not an antidote, a vaccine. But despite that, here we are still with numbers in terms of deaths and terms of new cases that are greater now than it was when the virus was first started spreading in April and May and ramping up in June. It's going to take faith to get this job done. Esther was a woman chosen and selected, unbeknownst to herself, concerning the plan of God. Her people were the targets of hatred, the targets of animosity, and the tool of the devil was designed to design plans to extinguish the entire nation of Israel. Genocide was the plan to exterminate them. Hatred had built up to such a level that the entire nation was in jeopardy. But God used a woman by the name of Esther. And you all know her story. In chapter 4, she is confronted with the challenge that is given by her uncle Mordecai, and how Mordecai spoke to her and let her know that where she was in the king's palace was not going to be a safe place for her, Eve, because when the word got out and when things started to go south, there was going to be no place safe for the Jews. And she was in position. Oh, God. She was in position. Esther was in position to be used by God. She didn't know what was going to happen. She, as a matter of fact, for those of you that know the story, she was a part of a beauty contest when King Ahasuerus needed to select another wife. All the eligible fair maidens of the land were called to come before the king that he was to choose one. And this humble, unassuming young girl, God positioned her in the presence and in the palace of the king, and the Lord was going to use her. She had to go through challenges and stresses, and there's no way to know how she felt emotionally, but you can only imagine the pressure that was on her when Mordecai sent the words to her. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance rise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. I don't know if there's an Esther on this line that the Holy Ghost is talking to right now. Positioned in a place that you didn't orchestrate yourself, placed amongst people that you never knew before, at a place of relationship that can hold the keys to life and death. Hallelujah. Sometimes the place, the role that you play doesn't seem so glorious, but you've got to learn how to take the low place, because your time is going to come. Your time is going to come. Can you imagine if Esther would have gotten beside herself and said, I'm living on top of the world now. I am the queen in the kingdom. And began to walk around, shaking her head back and forth with her nose up in the air, forgetting where she came from. But she kept the right spirit And when she heard the words of her uncle, and I'm gonna repeat this because there's somebody on this line that the Holy Spirit is talking to right now. Whew. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, there's somebody that the Holy Ghost is talking to right now that you've got to speak up. You've got to step up. Then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Don't ever think so much of yourself that if you don't do it, it won't get done. It will take faith to get it done. But if you don't want to exercise faith, God will raise somebody else up. God's plan is not dependent on just you. But I do want to emphasize that just you can make all the difference in faith and obedience with God's plan. Mordecai said that enlargement and deliverance will arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. There's consequences for disobedience and rebellion and resisting the will of God. But the question that's pivotal, and this is the charge to you right now, there's some S's on this line. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I'm asking somebody on this line, can you discern that this is your time? This is your time to step up in faith. This is your time to step up in faithfulness. This is your time to begin to make a move that's going to shock the enemy. Thou art called to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then Esther sent the servants that came from Mordecai back with this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Here comes the fast, y'all. Here's the fast. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Now, our fast is an easier fast than this. This is a fast where they didn't eat or drink for 3 days. My God, the Holy Ghost ain't changing the fast, but it's putting this in context. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. In other words, you're not supposed to go into the presence of the king unless you are called there. But what she was going to do was she was going to approach. And that approach without permission was a death sentence. Glory to God. And so this is why she says, and so I will go in unto the king, even though she was the queen, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Mordecai turned and fasted. Esther and those with her turned and fasted. You got to have people with you that know how to turn their plates down. You got to have people that will stand with you when it comes down time to get into an uncomfortable position. Because sometimes the uncomfortable position is a position of birthing. God have mercy on this phone right now. The uncomfortable position is a place in a position that a person sometimes gets into when they're about to give birth. I know I've got some women on the line that can talk about the uncomfortable nature of giving birth. My God, my God, my God. It's going to take faith to get it done. You will remember David as a young boy, as a kid, growing up, the youngest in his father's house, tending to the sheep. One day, there was a challenge that came before the people of Israel, and the challenge came by the Philistines. They came to seek to bring into slavery by defeating Israel, all of the people of God. David came with food to bring the food, bring the lunch to his brothers. Glory to God. His assignment was to bring the lunch. Huh. To be just to be at a certain place at a certain time to fulfill a simple role. All he was supposed to do was go and take the lunch. When he got there, he discovered that there was a problem in the camp. He went there and saw this Philistine giant. And with this Philistine giant, the Philistines were in a battle array. They were ready to fight. They came together with their armies. It wasn't just one group. When the Bible talks about it, it talks about them coming together with their armies. And they were arrayed and they were preparing to overcome the people of Israel. Saul was the king. Remember, Saul was the first king of the United Nation of Israel. It was not divided under Saul. It was united under Saul. And here the nation was challenged. Their future was on the line. Their wives and their little ones would become slaves or worse. The men could have been slaughtered in the field or made slaves for the rest of their lives. The Bible lets us to know that David was just a little boy, just a young kid, as it were. And their champion, the champion of the Philistines, was this huge man, about 9 feet tall. And his helmet, he had a big old helmet, and his coat of mail, that's like the armor back in those days. That was what they wore to protect themselves back in those days. His coat of mail was about 200 pounds. just his armor was about 200 pounds. The tip of his javelin, the spearhead was about 25 pounds. Now, y'all know what a 5-pound bag of sugar feels like. Can you imagine having to have something that you're carrying that's 5 times the weight? And that was the spearhead. I'm just trying to put this in context for you so you can understand what David was facing. And this Philistine champion, Goliath, his proposal, this is what his proposal was. If your champion, we're going to go one-on-one. Saul, pick out a man and send him to me. If your man is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants or your slaves. But if I prevail against him and I kill him, then you will be our slaves and serve us. So it was boiled down to a one-on-one battle, and the consequence for the losers was enslavement. It was bondage. The Philistine, Goliath, out of his mouth said, I defy the armies of Israel. I defy. Now, when you defy the people of God, when you speak ill about the people of God, you're speaking ill about God. And he didn't care. He didn't care. The Bible says that when Saul heard this, and then with all of Israel, Saul and his armies, they heard this, and they were all afraid. They were afraid of what they heard. They were scared. They were confused. They didn't know what to do. And so here comes David, the youngest boy. He comes out and he comes there and he's checking out what's going on. And understand, this was an experience that was going on for days. It was going on. I think it was actually going on for about 40 some odd days, this contest. So it wasn't anything that was rushed. It wasn't rushed. Goliath taunted them for like over a month. Can you imagine being threatened daily for a month that somebody's going to kill you. Either if you fight me, if you win, you will live and not die, and your people will be rulers. But if you lose, not only are you going to die, but your people are going to be slaves. This was hanging over their heads for over a month, tormenting them, challenging them, eating away at them. And then here comes David. He comes with food. He comes to bring the food to his brothers. And when he comes, he feels and realizes that there's something that's out of order here. Something's not right. He makes an inquiry. He's noticing that Israel, the armies, this is the armies of Israel, they're afraid. And then he begins to find out what happened. He asks the question, what will be done for the man that killeth the Philistine? Now understand, right? David is a boy. He's a kid. He's a child standing before a giant. And his question is, what are you going to give me if I kill this Philistine and take the reproach away from Israel? Now, understand, he's not speaking in arrogance. He's speaking in confidence because he had something up his sleeve. He knew that God was going to be with him. The Lord was with him when he faced a lion. The Lord was with him when he faced a bear. And he did all of that to protect the people, to protect his sheep. He understood that there was nothing that God would not do for him. I wonder if there's somebody on the line that has that same confidence. It's going to take faith. It's going to take faith to get the job done. You know how David went before the giant. The giant laughed at him, looked down at him, attempted to make him feel inferior and insignificant, stood before him, and even mocked the armies of Israel, saying that you brought a dog to me. He looked at David and didn't see it. He didn't see what God saw, but what mattered was that David saw what God saw. He was the youngest. He was the smallest thing out there, but he knew that if God was with him, there was nothing that could stop him. He declared that this uncircumcised Philistine was going to meet his match. Lord have mercy. You know that how Saul tried to outfit David with his armor, and David said, it's not going to work. The Lord has delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Sometimes we talk ourselves out of the blessing, or we let other people talk us out of it. Don't you let anybody talk you out of confidence in God when the Holy Spirit has told you to hold on to your confidence and cast it not away, for it has great recompense of reward. But you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. David was a shepherd boy tending sheep in the backyard of his father's house. In an obscure place, doing the dirty work. He was doing the dirty work. Dave was doing dirty work. He even smelled like the sheep. But it was that heart that prepared him for doing something that nobody else could do. I don't know if there's a David on this line right now that's in the background doing the dirty work, feeling like there's nobody's recognizing you. I remember sharing a message when we went to see Elder Brian Martin in Connecticut, a service of appreciation. The Lord dealt with me about the incubation of greatness. God will often incubate you, put you in an obscure place, put you in an unseen place, put you in an unreachable place, put you in a place where nobody's paying any attention because he's incubating you and preparing you for the time of your release, or the time of your appearance, the time of you coming forth. A lot of times people are holding back the good stuff of them. They're holding back and not giving their all because they're saying, I'm waiting until my time. I'm waiting until my day in the spotlight, my time on the stage. And when I get there, I'm going to give it all I got. But the Holy Ghost is saying, that's not the time to give it all you got. Now is the time. The scripture says, be thou faithful over a few things. Can you handle a few things? Can you do excellent with a few things? And I will make you ruler. I will put you in authority. If you cannot handle the authority over small things, God will never give you authority over anything larger. If you cannot be excellent in small things, he's not going to put you in a place where excellence is required over many things. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. And David, with the confidence of God, having a sling in his hand and a rock in his sling, approached unto the Philistine and declared, you come to me with a sword and a shield and a spear. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. And he declared that God was going to give him victory. I don't know who I'm talking to on this line right now, but the Holy Ghost is telling me that you're about to step into victory, being faithful, being patient, trusting him, not being intimidated by what you see, but holding fast to what you believe, because what you believe will always overcome what you see. Oh, God. The philosophy and mindset of the world is, I will believe it when I see it. But the walk of the faithful is we walk by the disposition of the faithful is we walk by faith and not by sight. It is what I believe. Do you believe God is able? What do you believe? Do you believe he's a healer? Do you believe he's a miracle worker? Do you believe he's a heart fixer and a mind regulator and that he is faithful to his word? Do you have faith to trust him and take him at his word? What do you really believe? Because when the rubber meets the road, what you really believe is going to come forth. What you really believe is going to affect how you respond. Because it's what you believe that will affect your opinion. It's what you believe that's going to affect the outcome. Even when people are misguided in their thoughts, those misguided thoughts cause them to act away, to think away, to feel away. Well, if you imagine what happens when you put that faith in God, that by the same token, what you believe concerning your God will cause you to act a way, to speak a way, to think a certain way. Oh, glory to God. By being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you are going to progress through and matriculate. Hallelujah. You're going to graduate as it comes down to faith. Let me tell you something. The I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You bet you can confess that, but you better believe it. Because time will come when you're going to have to put your money where your mouth is. You're going to have to put your treasure where your mouth is. You're going to have to put up or shut up. But God is in you, and God is saying, speak up. Y'all know how David did it. He ran, stood upon the Philistine. He ran up to this Philistine. And the Bible says that he slung the stone and hit Goliath in the head so hard that the stone sunk into his head. And he fell to the ground. You can only imagine the power in that stone. But where did the power come from? Did it come from the arm of a little scrawny kid? Did it come from the arm of a little guy that was hanging out in the backyard with the sheep? David had faith to swing the stone, but the power in the stone was God's. David had faith to sling it. God had the power to make it sink. It wasn't David's power. It was God's power. Whatever you put out, God gets behind. Whatever you put out by faith, God will get behind it and give it the power that it needs. Psalms 1 says, You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth your fruit in your season. Your leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever you do, it will prosper. I don't know who I'm talking to on this line, but the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody right now, because the championship belt is coming to you. You've got to fight for the belt. Hey, the belt is not given to somebody as a gift. When you go into that ring, you have to fight the opponent. You've got to take them down. You got to take it down. And when you take it down, you become the champ. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody on the line that feels the Holy Ghost shifting them into the championship place. But it's not because you were so great. It's not because you were so smart. It was because you were faithful. David was faithful over the few things. And when his time came, God gave him victory. Abraham faced a mountain. David's mountain was Goliath. Abraham's mountain was Moriah. And it was there that God dealt with him. The Lord spoke to Abraham, giving him a promise. He was 100 years old. He was 90 when the Lord dealt with him. By the time he got the fulfillment, he was 100 years old. And when we think about Joseph, how God matriculated Joseph, Joseph was 17 years old when the word of the Lord came to him and he started having his dreams. Do you know how old Joseph was by the time he was in the palace and put in the position of power? It was 13 years. And consider what he went through in the 13 years. And despite what he went through, the Bible says, and the Lord was with him. He held on to his integrity and God honored it. Abraham, the same thing. God promised him he would be the father of many nations. He promised that Sarah would give him a child. Sarah's womb was dead. His body was now weak, but he did not consider his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Y'all know the story, but he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. But here is the kicker. Now God tells him to go and sacrifice his son. God tells Abraham to go and slay Isaac. And now Abraham is looking at his future about to be taken away. But Abraham, this is where what you say when your back is up against the wall is important. Abraham took Isaac. He took some servants with him. They got to the foot of the mountain. And Abraham told the servants, you stay here with the animals. I and the lad will go, and we will come back again to you. Check this. Abraham knew he was going to go up there to kill Isaac. But something in Abraham did not let him believe that that was going to be the end of the story. My God, somebody needs to write down, this is not the end of my story. As a matter of fact, it was not the end. It was the pivotal shift. It was the thing that established Abraham as the father of faith. Because when Abraham had lifted up his hand to slay Isaac, and Isaac wasn't moving, Isaac could have moved. He could have ran away. His father was 100 years old. Could you imagine how you could have pushed him aside and ran off? Isaac wasn't no little kid. At least he wasn't so small that he couldn't run. He carried the wood. He was useful. He had some strength. But Isaac just was, he just was there. It was like, okay, Dad, whatever you're going to do, whatever you want to do. And there's somebody on the phone right now that's listening to this, somebody on the line listening to this, and you're Isaac. You've got to get to the point in your faith where you say, okay, Dad, whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to do, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to twitch. I'm not going to squirm. I'm not going to scream. Whatever you want. My God. Esther. David. Abraham. Isaac. Joseph. Are just a few of the incredible heroes of faith. But tonight, I'm speaking to the next chapter. I'm speaking to Hebrews chapter 11, part 2. Because God has called us to trust him like never before. The consecration that is before us, that will begin tomorrow, The context of our focus is on when the Lord Jesus Christ had entered into Jerusalem. Those of you that were with us on Watch Night, you know the background, you know the backstory. This was the beginning of the week of his passion. And at the bottom of this part here, this episode in the text, for those of you that follow the teaching that I share with you out of Luke, praise the name of God, in last year, I shared with you the episodal analysis of Bible chapters. And when we looked at this part of the episode, Jesus had cursed the fig tree, went about his business, and the disciples were surprised at how fast it withered away. And this is where the Lord directed me for the new year for us. He told them, don't be surprised at this. This is not a big deal. Can you imagine? He said, that's not a big deal. He said, if you have faith and don't doubt, not only are you going to do what I just did to the fig tree or things like it, but you're also going to say to this mountain or things like it, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. And it's going to be done. It's going to be done. It's going to be done in 21. Ephesians chapter 3, when I begin to look at what God had given us down through the years, I see this incredible thread of the Spirit moving in our midst, moving in our direction. You all know that the motto of our ministry is take the limits off God. And you know that that scripture base is found here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. And look at the verses. Look at the verses. 2021. I begin to look at what God had given us, and I'm starting to put pieces together. It's like, God, you are blowing my mind because you're talking to us. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, more than we can ask or think. So ask or think as big as you possibly can, and then understand that God exponentially does more. He can do exponentially more. He can do it to the 1,000,000th degree more than what you can think. And that there's no way to even comprehend that. What in the world is the 1,000,000th degree of a thing? Now unto him that's able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, his power. It's according to his power, the power that got behind the stone. Hey, the power behind the stone that David slung, that's the power that works in you. That's the power that works in me. That's the power that works in every spirit-filled believer. It is that power. Paul steps back without doing anything. He's just thinking right now. He hasn't done anything yet. He's just thinking. He's just talking. He's just imagining. Unto him be glory in the church. That's us, by Christ Jesus, operating in the church throughout all ages. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time, Esther. This is the time, David. This is the time, Isaac. This is the time. This is such a time as this. Throughout all ages, world without end, amen. When you get to the amen, basically, that's it. There is nowhere else to go after the amen. It is so. It is so. What I have said out of my mouth, I believe what I have said. Therefore, have I spoken. Even those things that are not, I will declare them out of my mouth as though they are. Glory to God. And then the Lord put this in my spirit for us. Because this consecration that we're about to go on is a growth thing. It's a growth thing. It's a growth thing. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're about to go on a consecration, beloved. A consecration like I don't remember we've ever gone on before. I was praying over this, seeking God's direction over this before the last week of last year. It'll be water and one meal daily. For those on medications requiring food, please eat enough to properly take your medications. Always feel free to consult your physician for any medical related concerns. You should never fast if you have a medical concern without talking to your doctor. Feel free to talk to your doctor. There's no harm. There's no harm. Talk to your doctor. And as it relates to the physical activity, you're going to have to slow down your pace for this one, as normal physical activity might be strenuous under the conditions of this consecration. We're talking about water and one meal a day until Sunday benediction for my morning worship. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. You all have my number. You have my email address. You know how to reach us through our website, through the contact us, BeulahTabRocks.org. Reach out to me. This material was sent out by email to everyone who has an email address that I have. And if you did not check your email yet today, check your email, because this is there. Starting a process. This is what the Lord put in my spirit for us. We're starting a process of deeper reading, firmer knowledge, and consistent application of God's word with the goal of stronger faith that will continue well beyond this year, not just through this year, well beyond this year. The focus is on building everyone up in their knowledge and faith in God. Faith will affect how you talk, how you live, how you see things in terms of your perceptions, and interpret situations in your life. And faith will cause you to live rapture ready. Faith will not let you live a sloppy, carnal life. And I am constantly concerned that the fact that we are not together, wherein in times past coming together, would often cause people to be conscious of themselves because of godly saints that would discern, looking upon them, that something is not in order. And sometimes people wouldn't even come to church because they knew that there was somebody in the church by the Holy Ghost, not by being nosy or inquisitive, but by the Holy Ghost would discern that there was something just not right. The Holy Spirit still reveals, but I believe that sometimes people think that they can get away with sin and that the Holy Spirit doesn't know it and that people don't see it. And oftentimes people had a disposition that I can do whatever I want to in my own house. It's my house. Well, your house is God's house now. So how does that fly? Live rapture ready, saints. Do not play with sin. Sin does not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but you're under grace. Faith will affect the way you make decisions, approach money matters, relationships, casual, professional, platonic, intimate, and otherwise. It will affect how you approach setbacks, disappointments, letdowns, sicknesses, failures, victories, successes, triumphs, the unknown, things you can change, things you cannot change. And faith will strengthen your relationship with God. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And so as we go into our consecration, starting tomorrow, each day has a focus. Wednesday, exhortations to faith-based character and transformation. We are familiar with the concept or the idea of faith-based institutions. And basically, that's the politically acceptable way to talk about churches and religious institutions, faith-based. Well, our lives are faith-based. Our character is faith-based. We are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit because we are faith-based. Ah, God. These are the scriptures for tomorrow's reading and meditation. Each day, there's a focus and scriptures for meditation and prayer. We will come together each night for prayer, from 7 to 8 on this line. Thursday, the exhortations to spiritual excellence. God has not called us to sloppy, ungodly living. He's called us to a set-apart lifestyle, and that takes faith. It takes faith. It takes faith to live a disciplined Christian life, because we have to believe that living right matters. Matters to God, matters to ourselves. And let me bring this to you. Esther had no idea where she was going to end up. We look at even Naomi and Ruth. You know, Obed, Jesse, David, the lineage of God establishing this order of kings that would be out of the tribe of Judah, that would be a precursor to the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine what would have happened if Esther got cocky? Could you imagine what would have happened if Ruth would have turned her back on Naomi and said, listen, you know, we're here in Moab now, and I know things are looking bad. All of us lost our husbands, but, you know, you said I should go my own way. I'm going to follow what you say. But there was something in her spirit that would not let her leave. Her commitment, even though it would have seemed better for her to leave than to stay, she stayed by her mother-in-law, went back to her mother-in-law's place, to her home. And you all, if you don't know the story, it's a powerful story of the kinsman redeemer, because Naomi had rights, but she needed someone to represent her. Glory to God. She needed a man to step up and represent her amongst the people. And you know, her husband had died. Her sons had died. There was no man. But Obed. Oh, God. Boaz was a kinsman to Naomi. And with Boaz, you've got Obed. With Obed, you've got Jesse. And Jesse, you've got David. Imagine the cataclysmic debacle if Ruth would have did her own thing, never got connected with Boaz. It would have been a total collapse. And it's not so much that God's plan is so fragile, but God's plan is strategic. And I want to encourage you, as somebody that needs to hear, you're being used by God in a strategic way. And so spiritual excellence is crucial. Joseph had an excellent spirit, and God used him despite the pain he suffered and endured. He was used by God. Friday, transformation exhortations. You have to understand that there is a joy and rejoicing in the process, and our attitude and disposition through a consecration should not be one where we are beaten down and we're acting like we're falling apart and we're acting like, oh my God, I'm starving. I can't wait to eat. That's the wrong spirit. You will mess it up. Then all you're doing is dieting. You're not fasting. And there's a difference between dieting and fasting. There is no spiritual value in dieting. The denial of this food that we might draw closer and focus on God has spiritual value that is unestimable. You cannot understand the value of a consecrated life. And the Holy Spirit, as your watchman, is dealing with me to admonish you all to not just take this as a moment of consecration. Yes, we call it the New Year consecration, and it's a certain time, but to inculcate in you the mindset and to develop a culture, not just of people that go on consecrations, but people who are consecrated. Tetayana, transformation exhortations. Saturday, the focus to be more like Jesus. If there was ever a model for us to emulate, it's not necessarily Esther, not necessarily David, not necessarily Abraham, Isaac, or even Joseph. The ultimate model is Jesus. And then Sunday, the final exhortations of faith walking. Faith walk exhortations. Faith is more than what you say. Faith is what you do. And if all you're doing is talking faith, then you're not walking faith. But the Holy Ghost wants me to get you to the point, wants me to admonish you for you to let the Holy Ghost get you to the point. I'm admonishing you. I can't make you what God would have you to be. I can encourage you. I could exhort you. I could be a mentor, but I can't make you. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the Lord's doing. He is the potter, and the Lord's hand is on you right now. You must be steady in the hands of the potter. Faith walk exhortations. Talk is cheap. It's how you walk. It's how you live. It's what you do. Only what you do for Christ will last. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You can talk as much. You can talk a good game if you want to, and talk has its place, because we must speak the word. We got to speak to the mountain. We got to open our mouth and give God praise. And so speaking has its place, but faith without works is dead. And so tonight I wanted to lay this foundation. The Zoom information is here. It's the same information that we've always used. I wanted to take this time tonight to lay this foundation with you. If you do not have this email and you want to receive the email, then put your email in the chat. I will make sure that you get the email before the night is out. I will add you to our email list, and you will be able to get the consecration details. I will send you a file that you can download. You can open up on your phone, or you can open up in your email. I want everyone to have this information. This is going to be epic. This is going to be life-changing. This is going to be radical. And I just want to know, do I have some radical folks that's on this line in the name of Jesus? I need some radical believers. I need some believers that don't mind facing giants. I need some believers that don't mind going in before the king. I need some believers that don't mind going up to Mount Moriah. I need some believers that don't mind being thrown into the pit and sold into the palace. I need some believers that can endure hardness as good soldiers. It's time to get off, to realize that what God has put in your hand is not a baby bottle. It's a sword. It's a sword. Put a sword in your hand. Put a sword in your spirit. And tonight we bless the name of God. We're getting ready to bring this coming together to a close. And I want to pray. I know that we're fasting. I know that we've been fasting today. We're going to break that fast soon. And we're going to get ready for another fast on tomorrow. And I know it's back-to-back fasting. One of the saints, when we were talking about it, she mentioned that this is just like the ramp up. This is the preparation. This is the and one. Glory to God. And basketball players and basketball aficionados know that when you are going to make the shot and you get fouled while you're in the process of making the shot and you get the shot, not only do you get to go to the foul line, but you got the score. That's an and one. And so I want you to understand that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You're going to get the blessing. There's a blessing that's going to come out of this. There's a wall that's going to come down. There's a yoke that's going to be destroyed. There's a precedence that's going to be set. This is life changing. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited in my spirit. I'm believing God. We have gone through some hard things. And the Lord gave me a very awkward message to preach on Sunday. It's going to hurt, but it won't be long. It's not going to last. Last night, I had a call with the bishops of our region, and there was a word of confirmation on the call. each time we come together with Apostle Sanders, one of the bishops has to give a word of encouragement. And last night, the bishop that was used to give a word of encouragement spoke all over, not only what I shared on Sunday, but even what I shared on watch night. And I told him that that was a confirmation for some messages that I was grappling with. Because sometimes you want to say something that sounds catchy. You want to say something that sounds like it's going to rock the house. Servants of God are not interested in rocking the house. We're interested in hearing him say, well done. And if the house gets rocked in the process, so be it. But the bottom line is, the will of God must be done. I'm going to ask you now to bow your heads with us for a moment. I know that we are on, it's after 8 right now, so we've gone beyond the hour, but the Holy Spirit is preparing us for something more. And those of you that understand this, you'll know that you got to give more if you want more. You've got to give more if you want more. Father, I thank you tonight for these precious souls that are on this line. I thank you, Lord, for every laborer in the vineyard. I thank you, Lord God, for every son and for every daughter that's on this line. I thank you, Lord, for every man and for every woman, for every brother, for every sister. I thank you right now for the people of God who are in battle position. Hallelujah. You spoke to us tonight concerning being in a battle array. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you tonight that the army has assembled. I thank you tonight that the warriors are on the line. I thank you right now, Lord God, for healing. I thank you right now, Lord God, for deliverance. I thank you, Lord, for revelation, insight by the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Lord, for faith being released to trust you no matter where you take us. Lord, I thank you for faith to be faithful. I thank you for faith to be consistent. I thank you for faith, Lord God, to speak your word. I thank you for faith to believe, to see your goodness. And because of this, we are not going to faint. We're not talking to fainters. We're not talking to those that turn back. We're not talking to those that give up. We're talking to those that have been plugged in. Plugged into the power source, plugged in and ready for a faith upgrade. I thank you tonight. Oh God, there's a faith upgrade that's about to be downloaded. I thank you right now. Oh God, oh God. So many of us are familiar with the concept of software upgrades and app upgrades and upgrades of this and upgrades of that. Lord God, I thank you that the basis is your word and what's about to be upgraded is our faith. Lord God, what's about to be upgraded is our understanding. What's about to be upgraded is our commitment. What's about to be upgraded is the anointing on us in terms of our release to it. Oh God, the anointing is there. Lord God, we just need to trust you like David did when he put the stone in the sling. We need to trust you like Esther did before she went before Mordecai. We need to trust you like Abraham did when he took a knife and offering materials up to Mount Moriah to offer up his son. We need to trust you like Joseph did, oh God, when he was thrown into a pit, when he was sold into slavery, when he was put into a compromising position with Potiphar's wife. He could have given into his temptation. He could have felt that he had arrived, that he was deserving of a woman that was as fine as her. He could have let his guard down. But Lord God, we thank you that he held on to integrity. That's where it matters when the temptation comes upon us. But we are grateful tonight to know that there is no temptation that has come upon us that is not common to everybody. But you are faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to handle, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that we can bear it. I thank you, Lord God. We are being bared up on angels' wings. I thank you for supernatural protection. I thank you for the revelation that comes through your word. It's spirit. Your word is spirit. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words you speak, the words Christ speak, they are spirit and they are truth. I thank you that your word is sharp. It's quick. It's powerful. I thank you now, Lord God, that even as we position ourselves to grow in you, to grow in faith. Lord God, that we're about to be taken to a mountain indeed. Lord God, you talked to us about mountains tonight, mountains that were obstacles. But Lord, I thank you that you're going to turn obstacles into opportunities. You're going to turn roadblocks into ramps. You're going to turn hatrabasha, the thing that the devil meant for evil, you're going to turn it into something that's glorious. I thank you, Lord. We're going to see it. Oh God, we're going to see it. We're not believing. We're not waiting to see it to believe. We're believing it now. And we declare that we believe to see your goodness. It's your goodness that we're looking for, Lord. It's your power that we're looking for, Lord. It's your revelation that we're seeking for, Lord, to know you, oh God, in the power of your resurrection, to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, to know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Oh God, we are seeking to lay hold of that which you have laid hold on us for, to apprehend that for which we have been apprehended. And Lord God, I'm excited. I'm excited because there's something that's about to break forth. I'm excited because there's something that's about to be revealed. I'm excited because there's something we're about to see that we never saw before. There's something that's about to come into our lives that's never come before. And Lord God, we know that you spared us for such a time as this. Lord God, we could have died last year. We could have died last year, Lord. We could have died last year. Some made mistakes that could have taken them out. Some let their guard down. They could have taken them out. Some were being careful, but they still could have been taken out. Lord God, you spared us. So many didn't make it to now, but here we are now. So many didn't make it to this moment, but here we are in the midst of it. I thank you for every person. I thank you for every woman. I thank you for every man. I thank you for every young person. I thank you for every family. I thank you for every congregation. I thank you for Beulah Tabernacle. I thank you for these beloved. Lord, I speak your word over them. You have given me a charge to watch over their souls. I charge them now with the word you have given me, that we will yield ourselves to you in humility and expectation, and believe that there will be a great power that's going to be unfolded before our eyes. He that loved us, he that washed us from our sins with his own blood, he that made us kings and priests, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for graduation that's about to take place. I thank you. There's going to be some promotions taking place. There's going to be some elevations taking place. Lord God, help us to be faithful in getting things done. Ah, God, I thank you right now. I thank you, Lord, for these. I thank you, Lord, for the ministers. I thank you for the missionaries. I thank you, Lord God, for the deacons. I thank you, Lord God, for the young people. I thank you, Lord, for the sisterhood. I thank you for the brotherhood. I thank you, Lord, for your body that's here even on this line tonight. And it is my prayer that you will allow us to see you through your word and through this consecration like never before. If we embrace your kingdom and live the way you called us to live, without doubt, but with confidence, the word tells us that not only will we do this which was done to the fig tree, but also we will triumph over huge obstacles. We will tell the mountain to jump in the lake, and it'll jump. It shall be done in 21. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord let his grace rest upon you. May the Lord cause the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. May the Lord cause you to have a hunger for his word like never before. May the Lord touch the spiritual appetite that you have and increase it. So that there's a hunger in your spirit for the things of God. I pray that that appetite and that taste for righteousness would overpower any temptation, any movement in unrighteousness. And even in this consecration, as we commit ourselves to it faithfully, that the Holy Spirit will show you that when you can discipline your flesh according to this direction. You can discipline your flesh in every aspect of God's word. I bless you now, Father, and thank you for these. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.